As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Da una lontana galassia stanno per arrivare due intrepidi eroi.
Io sono Jonathan e lui è Mario. Mario e Mario, sempre vicino a voi.
E perché non vi chiamate entrambi Mario?
Due guerrieri senza macchie e senza paura.
Johnny, vai a prenderlo.
E se mi spara?
Difensori dei deboli e degli oppressi.
Guarda lui. È da ieri che sta qui, ancora non l'ha beccato.
Come ancora?
Con un destino da compiere.
Grazie per aver chiamato il servizio di robot assistenza.
Aggiustare l'universo.
Ripariamo robot, androidi, intelligenze artificiali e ogni genere di elettromagnetico.
Per favore, fermate quell'assassino!
Ma voi siete pazzi, siete dei cialtroni!
Sono del cuore, non è nessuna la barba!
Vi prego, dovete aiutarmi!
Cielo, ma quello è un disgregatore!
Prossimamente su questi schermi!
No, veramente non si vede nulla. Si sente!
Non si vede nulla?
No, niente. È un'audioserie!
Ah, allora, prossimamente sulle vostre casse!
Vabbè, però glielo dico subito, questo intervento è fuori garanzia, chiaro?
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for coming for my early lecture. It will be about different creatures of magic and folklore in Bohemia. If anybody has some questions, ask even during the lecture, no problem. I wouldn't mind to have the lecture, you know, opened and discuss the stuff. Or if you think that I'm saying something which is absolutely common knowledge and uninteresting for you, tell me, because I have lots of different creatures, so I want to tell you about those which will be interesting for you. So, I divided the creatures plus minus into some categories because we really have very rich storytelling tradition and folklore, so to make it somehow more easy to navigate. The first category are, I would say, spirits of the house or of the household. These are creatures who are strongly tied usually to a village house, or to fields, and humans and animals in the household. Any of the creatures, many of the creatures are dangerous. Some of them are benevolent. So, this one which we see here is the household snake. In Czech, it's hadhospodáříček. It seems to, this creature seems to stem from the tradition when the snake was not a creature of evil, but it was connected to the earth and to fertility. So it was said to bring luck and protect the household. It usually was a white snake. And there was a tradition to leave milk at the threshold so that the snake could feed on it and it would be happy and would stay in the house. Of course, some people who were not knowledgeable when they saw the snake, they tried to kill it. And then the spirit usually disappeared and the household went poor and there were some calamities and even death in the family because the protective spirit was gone. Obviously, this was usual in the areas where snakes in general were quite abundant. In Czech Republic, we don't have really heavily poisonous snakes. We have the viper, but the viper's bite is dangerous, especially to small children. Of course, that was sometimes the cause of children mortality because they were running without shoes in the forest, and sometimes they didn't even realize what happened to them. Yeah, just they stepped on the snake and there it went. But we really don't have these exotic, super dangerous, super poisonous, or super super venomous stuff. Next. This looks as a black chicken. It's not. It's a plivník. That means something like spitter. Next slide. Spells like this. Usually, sometimes it was called šotek, and it was one of the household spirits, which was, I would say, ambivalent. It was said that it had to be a black chicken from an egg laid by a black rooster. Oh, how do you get that? Never mind. Sometimes a black hen was enough. And you had to carry the egg on your person for amount of days, 7, 10, sometimes more. You were not supposed to wash yourself, but during that time, so, that must have been lovely. And take care of the egg and warm it on your body. And then this beautiful, super cute little black chicken appeared. And those who had the pivnik in their household had good luck and enough money, enough food and everything. But if the plivnik was angered, it started to be dangerous, it started to be malicious. So it was like, or even it started during time, it started to eat too much. So it wasn't very complicated to feed the plivnik and to keep somehow the income and expenses balanced. Usually, basically, this was the ambivalence of using magic or anything in that sense to bring you luck. Yeah, it can help, it has its price. It's complicated. So that was the plivnik. There were some other household spirits, but these were some were more typical for Russia, so I did not include them. Next one. Now we go to the woods. There were divoženky, which literally means a wild woman, divá žena, divoženka. These creatures were exclusively female, and they live in the forest. Very typical for them is dancing and singing. I don't know if you have something similar in your home countries, but sometimes when somebody got too near to them, especially a handsome young man, they made him join the dance and danced him to death. Fun. Their brand of fun. Another means of murder which they applied was tickling somebody until he died. They at least died laughing. The divoženka style of fun. They basically represented the category of creatures of the forest who represent the natural forces. Sometimes beautiful and fascinating, but dangerous in its core. It's interesting that there is they're basically a type of fairies. There's a similar type of fairies, which is called slipky, which means something like those who promised. These actually are not natural spirits. They are spirits of the dead. And they are girls or women who cheated on their beloved or who ran away before their wedding. It's interesting that I don't know of any case of this, I would say, massive rule of punishment against men who cheated their girlfriends or wives or they ran away before the wedding. I never heard of that. Yeah, girls only. Talk about double standards, usual stuff. And this is a creature called Heikal. Heikal means something like howler. This is spelled this way. It's another forest being. He's interesting. Sometimes his only dangerous aspect is the howling, when somebody was at night in the woods, that meant he was in trouble anyway. Eh? What are you going to do alone at night in the woods? You shouldn't bloody be there. It's a dangerous place. Everybody knows that. So the Heikal was, I would say, a howling, or if I would mix the English and Czech, haking. And thus he was scaring the people. And of course, if they started running in the darkness, they could harm themselves, fall somewhere, etc. In some parts of Bohemia, the Heikals were more dangerous because they were able to jump on your back and start to strangle you. They were really murderous kind of being. Actually, for some time I thought it was quite, I would say, Bohemia exclusive, but actually in Spain, in the Basque country, the Basayaun, the master of the forest, is quite similar. Yeah? He's the forest protector. He can be quite unpleasant if somebody does something what he doesn't like in the forest. And the appearance sometimes, hairy and huge, is exactly this style. Sometimes the Heikal is basically protecting the forest and the animals in there. So it's supposed to be a relict of some older forest gods or protective spirits. I'm sure that some of you know what this is. No problem. Good fun. Next. Dun dun dun. Golem. This is was considered to be a very typical Czech creature. Now we are in the category of creatures that are man-made. A golem was created by Jewish mystics, the followers of the teachings of Kabbalah, and it was basically like an artificial human being. Usually very strong, very resilient, but without the proper will of their own. Usually they were not able to speak, because if such a creation would be perfect with a gift of speech, it would be an offense to God. So they slightly cheated it. We have an artificial human being, kind of, but it doesn't speak, so it doesn't count, never mind. The most known is the Golem of Prague, of course, but he's not the only one. I know of a case from 11th century in Spain. Solomon ben Gabirol, who was a poet and mystic, created a female golem. Some stories say on some case, he came to odds with some other poet, and well, the other one was, a very temperamental young man. So he took a dagger and wanted to stab Solomon, but the female golem stepped in between them, and he stabbed her, and was, oh my God, I killed the servant girl, and then he realized that it didn't do her any harm. She simply took off her blouse and started mending it. The poor young man went crazy because somehow he wasn't able to cope with this. So that's the Spanish story with some nice Spanish temperament. Beautiful girls, madness, and attempted murder. Actually, a story says that sometime later, Ben Gabriel actually was murdered by a poet who simply was not able to stand that Gabriel was better or something like that. But Solomon was, you know, he was not a very pleasant person. He was very witty, but with a sharp tongue, and it makes sense that he created a female golem to do the work in the house, because perhaps no real woman would want to step into his house because he was so horrible. And another case is the golem of Rabbi Elia Baal Shem in Poland in the 16th century. In that case, the golem had the tendency to grow, so it became dangerous. Its creator had to make it devoid of life, but the huge golem crumbled down and killed its creator by its sheer weight. The golem was revived by a Shem, or correctly, Shem HaMforash, which was a magical formula which was put either in its forehead or into its mouth. So there are different possibilities. One of the procedures was that it had an inscription in Hebrew. It had written Emet, which means something like truth. And if you put away one letter, the letter Aleph, you have Met, which means corpse. So that was the way how the golem was activated and deactivated. The Prague golem, although usually it is depicted like this huge, huge thing of clay, it was created from clay, but originally it looked like a normal human, only it was mute. It even had a name, Joseph. Actually, in my latest novel, and it's written in Czech, I have a female golem who is called Yisl, which in Yiddish is Josephine. She can speak all right. but also has this tendency to protect her master, like, oh, you're not going to stab him. Oh, damn. You have destroyed my clothes. That's bad. And when somebody asks her, aren't you afraid? She says, I'm a piece of clay. What a piece of clay could be afraid of? Nothing really. So, Joseph was basically in his purpose was to be the protector of the Jewish people in Prague. Of those who lived in the Jewish ghetto, his work was also to help as a servant in the synagogue, but in difference to the female golem from Spain, he was not supposed to do mundane work. There are different stories of what happened to the golem. One of them is that the wife of the creator of Rabbi Yehuda Lev, also called Maharal. Next. Yeah, that's the statue supposed to be depicting Maharal. The word is a shortcut which meant something like our teacher, Rabbi Lev. So the Maharal of Prague is in Czech known as Rabbi Lev. That his wife somehow forgot what the golem was for and gave him some mundane tasks, and the golem went crazy. It absolutely didn't work. It started to destroy the household, so on. Another version says that the Shem had to be removed from the Golem each Saturday because it was the Jewish holy day, and once the rabbi, because his niece was sick or something was happening, he forgot, and again the Golem went crazy. Another story tells that the Golem fell in love and went mad when he was rejected. He went mad from grief. Either way, he has had to be turned off. And the stories say that the body of the Golem is still somewhere in the attic of the old new synagogue in Prague. I never got there, so I can't tell. During the Second World War, actually, the Nazis, when they occupied Prague, they tried to find the Golem, but everybody who tried either failed or died. So, yeah. I would say smooth. By the way, the form of the Golem was turning more and more into this clay thing. Really, really mindless. If you would be interested, in 1951, there appeared the fantasy comedy movie The Emperor and the Golem. It's quite favorite in the Czech Republic. In Czech, it's called Pekařův císař a císařův pekař. It's like Emperor and the Baker. And there, it's in the times of Rudolf II, when the Rabbi Yehuda Leiv lived. And the Golem is there really a dangerous thing with scorching fire inside. It only obeys the one who holds the Shem and has no personality of its own. And it's a pretty obvious allegory for nuclear energy, because it's very destructive if left on its own or used as a weapon. But in the end, they make the Golem work to heat the ovens to make bread. So they basically use the energy for something useful. So that was the modern take on topic. It's the movie of my childhood. I liked it very much. It's cute. Yeah. Another man-made being. Otesánek. It means something like hewn from wood or something like that. But in Czech, the word is generally somebody who eats a lot. Yeah, when someone, you're a real otesánek. That means that you keep eating and eating and eating. I have found the translation as greedy guts. It's well known, quite popular. It's not that old. It's from 19th century, so younger than the Golem, and it has the usual pattern of a childless couple who really want to have a child, and one day, the man who works in the woods finds a piece of log which looks like a baby. So, having no better idea, brings it home, and or even makes it to look even more human. The woman cradles the log, and it comes to life, and wants to eat something. And in the beginning, they are very happy, and they feed the child and take care of it. But the thing eats more and more and more. Then it eats its parents and goes out to the world and basically eats everybody whom it meets. And it always says, I'm Otesanek. Hi, I'm Otesanek. I have ate my mother and my father and the old woman and the man and the horse, and I will eat you too. And another, he always says all the things that he has eaten, and then eats the person. In the end, he is stopped by a great hero. By an old woman who is in her garden with her hoe tending the garden. And when the creature comes to her and starts saying what all it had eaten, she takes the hoe and splits his belly open and kills it and frees everybody who was eaten. Because, of course, they are all inside. It has no teeth. It has no real stomach. It's a piece of log. So the story is slightly strange, but I think that that's, again, the echo of the principles of the forest. Yeah, the forest can give you, and magic, it can give you something, but be careful what you wish for, be careful what you bring to your home from the wild place out there, which can be full of spirits, demons, wild animals, no fun. So I would say that's the internal moral of the story. Yep. Ah, ghosts. That's a great category. We have so many of them. I could be here all day if anybody would listen to me. I think that the ghosts would be something similar in basically any country. Usually, they are spirits of people who are either evil or neglected some duty, or they didn't get a proper burial, or they were somehow harmed, suffered great pain, great injustice, so they didn't have peace after death, and they either are still wicked, or they try to help the people who come around, or protect their family, or something like that. The ghosts are not always, but sometimes we can trace them to real history. For example, quite favorite are the ghosts in Bohemia, are the ghosts of Swedish soldiers. Because in the 17th century, Bohemia was attacked by Swedish army, and of course the soldiers were running around, looting, you know, the usual stuff what soldiers like to do. And some of them, especially when they were going alone, the locals simply ambushed them and murdered them because nobody likes foreign soldiers running around and looting. And, well, they thought that I'm so strong, I'm so cool, nothing can happen to me. And, of course, in that time, we are now a very unreligious nation, but in that time, looting of churches was not an exactly a good way to make oneself popular in the area. I guess you can imagine. So, in Prague, there is the headless Swedish soldier in Nerudova Street. So he was exactly this case of a looter who was quietly killed off and buried somewhere. And his comrades were not able to find him, so they said, it's war, whatever, forgot about him. So he stayed in Prague. Actually, he is not a dangerous ghost. He's just scary. That's a rider with his head under his arm. Not a very cute sight. I know only about one case when he attacked a person, and that was when a drunkard came down the street and started making fun of the headless rider. So he just gave him a slap, and that was all. So I would say that's a very, very tame and cute ghost in the end. This one? That's the white lady. There are different white ladies around the world. This one has the typical look of the Czech white ladies, with the hat, as you see, and the veil. Usually, these were either unfaithful wives or basically innocent victims of some crime. They were usually noble women. sometimes they were either buried alive or vault into the walls of the castle alive. So not a very nice death. Usually they appear as a warning to the inhabitants of the place. They are typical for castles, obviously. How much time we have? So. Next. Rusalky. These are also quite well known. These are river spirits or water spirits generally. Rusalky, sometimes they can be confused with the spirits of the dead. Sometimes they are described that they are the ghosts of young women. Sometimes they can be even ghosts of unbaptized children, but the most usual form is basically a water spirit, again, a natural force of nature. They very much like to appear by lakes, and more lakes than rivers. They like to dance. They like to dance young men to death. That's what they have in common with Divoženka, or drown them. And of course, there are some popular stories about human men marrying a Rusalka or a Divoženka. I think that's popular all over the world. Basically, when something like that happens, there are two possible outcomes. Either there's some disaster, because the moral of the story is human and supernatural don't work together. And it was also this xenophobic notion. Yeah, don't marry a girl from another tribe. Don't bring in a foreigner, a stranger. It won't work. They are not human. They are something else. They are different. So be reasonable and pick a human girl. That means from your own village or from your own tribe. Or another version was that from this marriage, their descendants were some line of noblemen or kings, because of course the nobles quite like the idea that they are descended from something extra, something magical, something with supernatural powers. So, yeah, the Melusina and the like were these cases. Quite a favorite form of disaster is, and that we can see even in Japanese magical foxes in Kitsune, the Rusalka or Divoženka must never be reminded of her origin, of who she is. Or the husband must not see her bathing, or the husband must never hit her. Usually, the one condition. Oh man, you had one job only, and that was not to do something, not to do, and they fell miserably. And in that moment, the supernatural woman, who until then was beautiful, perfect, everything top-notch, disappears. Because, you couldn't keep your word. There you go. It's a bit worse when they have children together. Sometimes these beings return at night secretly to take care of the children. But... yeah, basically for the men, they're lost forever. Another favorite that variant is found in Celtic mythology. Don't talk about me. Don't brag about me when you go somewhere to party with other men. And of course, he gets drunk. Oh, I have such a great wife, and she's so cool and beautiful, and this and that. When it's a party with the king, it doesn't go very well. Or with some noble, of course. So you have a beautiful wife, you said. And can I see her? Yes, I can, because I'm the local ruler, and you're a bloody whatever. So... That's also one favorite form of disaster. Next. And with the inscription, there is a very popular opera by Dvořák, which is called Rusalka. This is the actress, the singer, who sang the first Rusalka. Basically, it's a Czech variant of The Little Mermaid, her love for the human, and how their love story, of course, goes very wrong with a pretty unhappy end. But I really recommend it, to see it, hear it. It's a very beautiful opera. There is a famous aria, Měsíčku na nebi hlubokém, O moon in the sky so deep. The tune is so popular and well known, my mother sang it to me as a lullaby. And now, water spirits, vodník. Is it possible to see there? No. Water goblin, vodník. Just a second. Vodníks are of a different temperament, usually according to the body of water that they inhabit. The Slovak water goblins are usually pretty damn murderous creatures because the rivers are fast and furious, so not good. But for example, in south of Bohemia, we have ponds full of fish, full of carp, and very often the vodníks of the south are actually... yeah, they are quite all right. They drown somebody only if enraged or as a punishment for greed or arrogance. My favorite story is about a young journeyman who was returning from the south to Prague, and he met another traveler. And so they went together, they were talking, and it was very nice to travel with somebody. And near Prague, the mysterious traveler said, you should know things. Actually, I'm a vodník. Oh my God, what? Yeah, I'm a Vodnik from the south, and I have a very nice pond, but an arrogant coachman rode with his horses into my pond and destroyed all the stuff, and the water was dirty, and he insulted me, and I had a beautiful flower which was growing there, and he took it and went away, and he thought that, yeah, that he's of Prague, that he can do anything. So I made a little trip. If you want to see what will happen next, come at the Charles Bridge tomorrow at noon. I'll see you. And disappeared. The German man was like, oh, gosh. All right. He went because he was curious. And just at noon, he saw a coachman who had a beautiful flower. The story even mentions a rose, which is quite strange. What would a water goblin have to do with a rose? I would expect some water lily, or you know what I mean. So he had the flower behind on the brim of his hat, and he took the horses to wash them to the Vltava River, and the journeyman tried to shout to warn him, but it was too late. In the moment the man entered the water, the water goblin jumped, pushed him, drowned him. That was the end of it. Only the flower was seen floating down the Vltava River. I see a bit of echo of the Beauty and the Beast in this story, because a flower is stolen, and then the supernatural being to whom it belonged seeks revenge. And in this case, yeah, the southern water goblin was... he liked to travel, or at least he didn't mind. Next. This is a statue of a water goblin, which you can find in Prague at Čertovka, which basically is a subsidiary to Vltava. Actually, I will tell one more story. As the Vltava River, there was a part of Prague called Podskalí, which means under the rock, and the inhabitants of Podskalí, they were usually raftsmen or fishermen, so they had stories about a very cruel water goblin, because it was quite usual that somebody fell down, fell to the river, or fell between the logs, and they crushed him, and he drowned. But as slowly this job disappeared, because the wood was transported by trains, and the Vltava became a slower river, and many people nowadays know how to swim. So the wicked and insidious and dangerous water goblin became more like an eccentric neighbor who comes to the pub, and they because he needs to be wet, not to die or to lose his power. So usually the owner of the pub gave him a bowl with water to put his feet in while he was sitting in the pub. And he drinks the beautiful Czech beer, and yeah, he's a bit grumpy because he's basically an old murderer now in pension. Yeah. Oh, those were the days where people didn't know how to swim. Yeah, what can you do? So, any questions? Anyway, if you think of something, I will be here. So, no problem. I have many stories. I will finish with one last one, and that is about a water goblin. When the people were not drowning properly anymore, these water goblins, they keep the souls of the drowned people in cups under a lid. So... they have usually a very nice collection at the bottom of the river. So I think it was again in Podskalí. One of these, the water goblin went to a pub, And he magically made many people come there, and everybody was drinking, and it was very, very good evening. And then always a fight occurred, a really violent fight, in which accidentally some people were killed. So the water goblin, instead of drowning them, he collected the souls of those killed in a bar brawl, and went away to the river. The pub owner knew about it, but he was happy because each evening the pub was full and everybody was spending money, so not his problem. In the end, the people found out, they caught the pub owner, threw him into the river, and the water goblin said, "Huh, damn, it will not work anymore," and drowned the pub owner. So that's the end for now. Thank you very much for listening to my lecture.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafidi, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificas.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. L'autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Allarme rosso, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigatevi.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì. Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
75%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 è pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 è posizionato.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.